The noise we hear in the world, I suddenly realised there's a certain inauguration happening in America. And then if you didn't see, an amazing thing happened. On the day of the inauguration, everything that I thought would happen from a certain president happened. He started talking about how things were going to be worse for people. There was going to be less freedom, less rights, less love. And then the amazing Bishop Marion, let me get a name right, Bishop Marion Edgar Bood stood up in church and in front of the president said everything that we wanted to say. Prayed for justice, prayed for freedom, prayed that every single person would be seen as an individual, son of God, son or daughter of God. And I thought, I wonder which voice is going to be louder. And you get the impression that actually many, many people liked what she said. But President Trump just said she was rude. Says a lot, doesn't it? So January of 2025 seems to be a month of voices, of opinions, of noise. And where do we go for the direction we should be going in? Who do we listen to? And this is the short bit about the Traitors. If you don't know about the Traitors is, it's a TV programme, it's a bit of a social experiment. 22, 23 people come together and they don't know each other, unless it's been planned to hide in plain sight that you do know each other. Most become faithful, they're like the goodies, and a number become the traitors, who are the baddies. And it's, the idea is, in plain sight and in ways to conspire with people, they have to banish people and then pretend to murder people. It's not real. It's a bit like Cluedo that goes over a month. Every night, they pick up on everything they've heard during the day, bring all their opinions together and choose people to be banished. You must be a traitor. We're going to get rid of you. And then the traitors murder somebody. And that then confuses everybody. And they all get mixed up for the next 24 hours. And then they all start talking again and disbelieving each other and going against each other. And they sit around this massive table and they all let all their opinions come out that they've heard during the day. And the two things that amazes me about that table, nobody can spell. When they write the names down of who's going, they never spell it right. But the more important thing is that it's so easy to be confused by the noise. You saw several people this year, they'd be chatting to each other all day and they'd go, "Who do you think it is? Oh, I think it's them. So do I." And they go, "Oh yeah, because see, she said that and he said that and they did that and he scratched his nose, you know, strange. So it's got to be them." And they go, "Yes." And they said, "When we go around the round table, I'm voting for them." "So am I." He says, "So we're all going to put the name Fred down." "Yes." And they go, "Who have you put?" "George." Because they are all so easily swayed by what they've heard. We've got to pray that more Americans were swayed by the bishop, by that prayer, than by the president. And I'm sorry if it's a little bit political, but the Traitors is a game, just a bit of fun. They all get very wound up in it, and Claudia Winkleman is walking around winding them all up, having a good laugh. And it is fascinating. I love watching it with my kids, because it's something we can all bond over. But it's now finished, and it didn't matter. In the real world, we need to be careful. Where do we get our information? Where do we get our opinions? Who can we listen to? Who can we talk to? We live in a world more than any other time. Information is constant, isn't it? You know, I remember probably 15 years ago, somebody says to me, "You can tell a lot by a person by the paper they read." It'd be interesting to see how many of you still read a paper. I don't read a paper. They don't even put it around your chips anymore, which is pretty much what it was good for. I've got an app on my phone, which is the BBC News. And when we're at work, it suddenly does the BBC theme, and the whole office go, "Oh no, what have they done now?" But if I just listened to the BBC, which seemed to be about half an hour behind everyone else, Would that be my opinion? It's got to be more than that. Papers are on the way out, so we've got to be careful where we get our information from. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." I think one of the quickest ways to get into trouble is by opening our mouths, isn't it? I think it's right to have opinions. I think it's right to stand up for what we believe. But sometimes we just going to need to stop and think. One of the stranger things that happened on the Traitors this year was a lady called Charlotte. Charlotte decided she was going to be Welsh. She was born in London. She lives in London. But she heard somewhere that the most trusted accent in the United Kingdom is Welsh. So when she was being interviewed backstage, you know, kind of away from everybody else, she's got a terribly nice London accent. But every time she walked into the room with them, they go, "Oh boy, oh!" And you think, can she keep this up for... She kept it up for a month. And you think... And the thing she said is, in the real world, in normal life, she says, "I've got a very quick voice. I answer very quickly. I think while I'm talking. And as it's going in there, it's coming out here." She says, and in this game, that doesn't work. Because you'll say something out of turn and somebody go, "Oh, did you see? She said that." She said, by giving myself a different accent, I had to stop and think. So I had to think, okay, I'm Welsh now. I'm going to answer in the Welsh. She says, and that little bit of time gave me processing time, having a different opinion. And she actually didn't get found out that she was Welsh at all. There's an American historian that said, "Talk is cheap because the supply always exceeds the demand." It's true, isn't it? You know, you don't have to go too far to have an opinion. And they're always different to mine. It's terrible. Proverbs 11:12, "A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbour, but a man of understanding holds his tongue." Proverbs 18:7, "A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to the soul." It's true, isn't it? You tend to find the ones you listen to, the ones you hope we listen to, are the ones that are softly spoken, quietly thought through what their opinions are, willing to listen to others, willing to debate, not just willing to shout over you so you'll shut up. In Exodus chapter 19, we hear that Moses listened to God on Mount Sinai. And that was good, very good. And at the base of the mountain, in Exodus 32, we find that Aaron is listening to the people. And that was bad. We need to pick where we listen and who we are listening to. We're always listening to someone. There are always voices. It's very hard these days to get away from noise. Over the last year, I nearly got an opportunity to go away for a day's retreat to a house where there was nobody else. It was in the middle of the Coventry countryside. Yes, there is Coventry countryside. And unfortunately, things conspired against me. I didn't get to go. But the one thing I wanted was to go somewhere where, you know, during COVID times, when there was no planes, no cars, and we suddenly remembered we got birds. I wanted that again, even if it's just for a day. Because my thoughts could get calm and I could think about, what actually do I think about this? What is my opinion? What do I want to pray about? Proverbs 8:34-35. "Blessed is the man who listens to me," not me, God, "watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favour from the Lord." Listen to me. You kind of get the impression in the busyness of life, in the noisiness of life, God's just in the background going, "Listen to me. Please listen to me." He's not going to shout because he's not that sort of person, is he? He's not a noisy God. He's a nice, gentle God who respects us but wants us to listen to him. We know that as God whispers, "Listen to me," in the quiet, somebody else is shouting, "Listen to me," in our busyness. were constantly spoke to through the TV, movies, books, newspapers, the internet, other people. How do we work out who to listen to? A friend of mine, his father's seriously ill at the moment, but he has a great respect for his dad, apart from the fact he reads a certain paper. And the amount of times he said to me, "Oh, don't pay any attention, he reads the..." I won't share what paper it is in case you read it too. We just need to be careful to whom we're listening. And that's what Psalm 2 teaches us. There's four different voices in there, I think. The voice of defiance, the voice of derision, the voice of declaration, and the voice of decision. The voice of defiance. There's a story of President George Bush, the first President George Bush, the dad, that said in a speech somewhere, "I do not like broccoli." I can be with him there. "I haven't liked it since I was a child, and my mother always made me eat it. I am now the President of the United States, and I'm not eating broccoli anymore." He was rebelling against broccoli. It's probably his first act as president. Ban broccoli from everywhere. There are worse things than rebelling against broccoli. The worst thing is rebelling against the one that created the broccoli. Psalm 2, 1-2, we've just heard. "Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The king of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against the anointed one." The voice of defiance comes from those nations, those individuals that don't want God in control. Like a small child, like a toddler. How many times have we seen a child in the supermarket on their, you know, laying on the floor, banging them? "I'm not going to you, buy me some chocolate." Actually, that's my wife, that's not a small child. she would agree. How many times do we kind of get into that realm? My younger brother has just adopted two boys just about a couple of years ago. And it's amazing, these boys have had a horrible start to life and now they've got an amazing, amazing kind of future. But they're still two very small boys with loud voices and opinions. And my brother said, phoned me the other night, I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Well..." It never starts good when he says "well." I said, "What's been going on?" He said, "Well, I've just realised I've just had a stand-up fight with a five-year-old for the last hour." I said, "Who won?" "That's still to be decided." They're defiant. That's their nature. They feel out of control and they want to take back control. But actually, we need to listen to God. Pharaoh had a hard heart against God and the people of Israel. In Exodus 5, Moses and Aaron came before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And what did he do? Like a toddler, you almost see him stamping his foot. No! He's not saying it because it's right or wrong. He's saying it because he's just being a petulant child. He wants control. He doesn't want anybody else telling him what is the best way forward. Nations can defy God all they want, but there will become a time when there's a penalty. They will fall. We need to listen to God. Psalm 107. "Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High." We know it's not smart to defy God in any shape or form. But still sometimes we do it. Because the voice of defiance will only last so long. The second, the voice of derision. "The one enthroned in heaven laughs." Researchers tell us that the average child laughs 150 times a day. The average adult laughs 15 times a day. And you wonder why children are so happy. Proverbs 17, a cheerful heart is good medicine. If a cheerful heart or a laughing heart is good medicine, what comes from a frowning heart or a frowning person or a downcast heart or an angry person? It said, laughter is one of the greatest mental tonics known to man. It is the second most powerful human emotion that people can possibly express. The first being? Next lesson. Laughter can dispel anxiety, help manage stress, depression, fear and worry. It can stimulate the healing process. Laughter provides strong medical, psychological, social and even spiritual benefits. Laughter's like going for a jog, but more fun. There you go, this proves it. Psalm 2, 4 to 5, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them, he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. The Lord in heaven laughs. What a great thought. What a great thought. Just that thought of, you know, when something tickles us, when we, you know, find something amusing, not even roaring laughter, just that thought of something makes you smile and laugh. Isn't it great to think that God still laughs with all that we do, with all that we get wrong? He probably thinks, go on, have your way for a little while. But soon you'll realise I'm in control. God is still God. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. We don't have to sweat the small stuff. If we think of the world today, there's not a lot to be happy about, is there? I made the mistake of watching the news last night. Usually when we get to that time of night when the news comes on, my youngest daughter, who's 15, goes, turn it off! Because she doesn't even want to think about out there. I think we've all become a bit, you know, hardened to it. It doesn't shock us sometimes. But actually, we need to trust God. He's always going to be in control. Third one, voice of declaration. Psalm 2, 7 and 9, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. I will make the nations your inheritance. You will rule them. We have no right to tell God what he believes, what he thinks should be done. He might listen to us. That's probably when he laughs. God rules by decree, not by democracy. We're one big family, but he's the head. But he always wants the best. College boy said to his mother, I have decided, Mum, that I want to be a political science major at university. And I want to, because I want to mess up, no, that's wrong. I want to clean up the mess of this world. Good thought. His mum said, that's very nice, dear. Before you go, can you go upstairs and sort out that mess in your bedroom? Sometimes we want to sort the big picture, but actually we sorted the little picture. Everybody's combined effort would change the world. The only way we can do the giving tree is if we all do it together. The only way we can feed everyone on food bank is if we all do it together. Because those with the noisy voices aren't doing it. But we, with the small voices, but with the biggest one backing us, can change the world. God's word is God's word. His decrees are final. They created a book about it, the one we're supposed to live by. Has everything you'd ever need. Opinions, rules, everything in there you can use and say, actually, that was written then, but it applies today. But instead, we listen to the news. Another illustration. Someone put it this way. Revelation is what God said. We agree with that, don't we? Interpretation is what we think God said. and sometimes our interpretations are not right. How many times the church is split, break apart, fall out because of a misunderstanding of one verse in one chapter in one book of the Bible. You know, people come together to read books, don't they? Book clubs. And they discuss and they learn from each other. Sometimes I think churches do the opposite. We fall out of one little thing and you think God must be despairing at us. John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I sometimes wonder whether we think, well, yeah, all right, God, you said that, but, because we want to tell him something different, because it suits us. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, but there is no other name under heaven given to me by which we must be saved. If we channel all our thoughts, all our opinions, all our noisy voices into just that channel of listening to God, we'd know so much more. God's decree, not ours. And finally, the voice of decision. Psalm 2:10-11, therefore you kings be wise, be warned you rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I found a story of some people going out and playing golf. It's President Ford, former President of America, golf pro Jack Nicklaus, and Billy Graham. What a team. This is not a joke. This is real. I promise you. And they were with one other golf pro. And they were going around playing golf. And after the round, one of the other pros that had been around with them said to the unnamed golfer, hey, what was it like playing with the president and with Billy Graham? The pro said, kind of with disgust in his voice, I don't need Billy Graham stuffing religion down my throat, and stormed off to the practice area, the practice tees. The friend followed him and said, what on earth happened? He said, would Billy be a bit rough on you? Was he preaching to you all the way around? And he said, no, didn't say a word about it. And yet he was still furious that Billy Graham, it was the thought process in his head, probably the guilt in his head, probably the realisation that he needed to be more like Billy Graham than like he was. He wasn't ramming religion down his throat, he was just living a life. We need to taste that conviction of God. We need to offer that conviction of God to others. Calling us, God's Spirit is calling us to make decisions. If we made that decision in our life already, brilliant. But sometimes I think we forget. We were talking in the office on Friday about the renewal of marriage vows. Has anybody ever renewed their vows? I know too. Well done. my wife and I, actually we got married on the same day, didn't we? Yeah, I think we did.
August 3rd.
Mm. 96. Yeah. Isn't that weird? We're not a couple, don't worry. We didn't renew our vows. I went to school with this man's lovely wife, and when we found out later, we actually got married on the same day. We renewed our vows in Jamaica, the thing we'd wanted to do but knew the family wouldn't be able to afford. So we got married in Coventry and then renewed the vows about 20 years later in Jamaica. And we were talking about the renewal of vows. I don't know if you know, but on Valentine's Day, there's some big thing happening at the cathedral where they're trying to get as many people to renew their vows as possible. Well, Dave, I don't want to worry, but she looked at you. Better get your best suit out. You know she wants a honeymoon as well. but it's that renewal of commitment. We started chatting, I said, you know, I don't know whether we decided to obey or not. You know that do I obey? Am I a modern woman, so don't want to obey? She said it on the day, apparently, but hasn't done it ever since. But it was great to talk through that idea of actually I want to recommit. I want to remember I want to renew that process of being together with somebody. And it's no different. When we can become a Christian today or 150 years ago. But we've got to remember every day we need to recommit. Because every day God recommits to us. He will always be there. And so we need to be listening to God. We need to be answering his call. We need to be going outside and telling people about God. Because it's all well and good us listening to this and having opinions and firing ourselves up for God. It's when we go outside. When we sit opposite Donald Trump on his big day and tell him off. Because that's what she did and then said amen at the end. Did we say amen? Or did we go, oh, that's just a bit awkward? Or did we think she was a nasty lady like he did? We need to choose the voices we listen to and then become a voice other people can listen to as well. I saw this and I'm going to stop. Good listening is like tuning in to a radio station. You know, do you remember the old ones that you used to, especially you're in the car, and you have to kind of turn the knob for it to go up and down the thing to find what you want. And then you drive slightly out of air and you have to retune it. You can only listen to one radio station at a time. If somebody's in the car with you, they probably want to listen to something different. They retune it. In our car now, we've got the danger of mobile phones. So it just suddenly changes. Somebody's put something else on. But if you were in the car with somebody you were talking to and somebody put the radio on, it would be quite rude, wouldn't it? Quite distracting. Quite off-putting. We need to make sure when we're listening, we give our undivided attention. It's just like turning the radio off. We want to listen to God. We want to listen to what he's talking to us about, what he's telling us. We should have a deaf ear to the defiant voice of the world and an open ear, and the open ear ready to tune in to the voice of God. Matthew 7:24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Matthew 11, he who has ears, let him hear. Where are we listening? Who are we listening to? Are you a faithful or a traitor? Or a bit confused by it all? Lord, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are constantly there talking to us, whispering in our ear, encouraging us, rebuking us, guiding us. Help us, Lord, in that quiet to listen. Through the noise of the television, the noise of the radio, the noise of opinion, the noise of newspapers and websites and everywhere else we get noise and opinion from. Lord, let us cut straight through that to hear your opinion. Help us to hear it, learn from it, and pass it on. Help us to take risks. Help us to stand up. Help us to live a godly life in the knowledge that you are always with us and always speaking and always listening. Amen. Okay. Now we are going to sing again. Number 1674, Your Love Shining. Oh, no. Your Love Light Shining Like the Sun. Is that right? Yeah, right, there you go. That's there. Let's all stand together and sing. Let's sit for a time of prayer. Feel free to sit. Lord, as we pray, whether we sit or kneel or stand, we thank you for your love. We pray that you will be with our world who's in trouble. May you bring hope. May you bring an end to war, to end to hunger, an end to homelessness. Just, Lord, be that light in the darkness and help us to hear your voice as to how we can engage. We pray that you will strengthen the voices of the faithful. people like that bishop. May they have a voice, may they be heard, and may we support her in her desire to love God and to love others. Be with them, Lord. Be with us at this time of year with the weather. It seems so scary, so dangerous. We pray for those who have lost houses recently or damaged properties. We pray also for those who have to be outside because they have no home, they have no shelter. Lord, help people to be safe. Help people to be helped. Help them to be pointed towards places that can support them. And Lord, we pray for our own city and for this community. Lord, pray that you support all those who are struggling, all those who are hungry, all those who have no shelter, no home, all those who are in dangerous relationships. We pray, Lord, that your love, your spirit will shine through, will flow through the streets of Coventry and beyond. And for this church, Lord, for the people who are struggling, this community, for the people who are going through tough times, either of health, of situation, of spirit, be with them, Lord. Lift them, comfort them, have them a sense of your presence in their lives. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, for as we see who trespass against us, and lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Okay, our final song, number 3010, Holy Overshadowing, O Spread Your Wings of Mercy Over Me. A final prayer. As we leave this place, may the love of Jesus Christ bring us wholeness. May the grace of God the Father grant us peace. May the breath of the Holy Spirit instill passion in our hearts. And may the unity between them give us strength. For this and every day we pray. Amen.